Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 scores scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know. No. I'll talk to D. Rose. Yeah, guys. Matt, well, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
The Locked On Bulls podcast.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. We're in the aftermath of Jim Boylan being fired and still getting quotes, still getting some conversation around the Bulls after the weekend. But I think for most Bulls fans, like we talked about yesterday, Matt, it's been a sense of relief and a sense of a little bit more hope. And we got to hear from AK this morning on the Mully and Haw show, and we'll talk about that a little bit, and also his presser on Friday that we haven't talked about. But first and foremost, Matt, how are you doing on this Tuesday?
Jordan, what's up? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. Just so excited that we are just right at the beginning of what should be a pretty entertaining couple, you know, months or month and a half of NBA playoff basketball. Already some really crazy stuff and some awesome performances Monday. I mean, like, you know, the shootout between Denver and Utah, what we saw Donovan Mitchell do, what we saw Jamal Murray do. It's just awesome, man. I'm just so excited that we actually have this. For a while, I didn't know if it was going to happen. But, man, again, you can't say enough times how much credit Adam Silver and the NBA deserve for making this happen.
Definitely. And you're seeing a lot of other sports leagues starting to copycat. Like, even the NFL has copycatted the NBA in the testing program that they're going to do because the NBA has had such wild success with it. And, yeah, credit to them. And they've got a plan set up. If things don't go well and the outlook is grim for next season, at least they have a plan in place where the bubble could be a real consideration. And now I don't know how many guys would be up for spending 8 months in the same exact place playing games, but if it comes down to it, at least they have a plan in place and they know it works, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get to the more important stuff, and that is the Bulls. And the Bulls, specifically talking about Arturis Karnišovas. So he spoke Friday with the media and just taking general questions and making the announcement about Jim Boylan being fired. But he also spent a little bit of time with the guys on 670 The Score this morning talking to Mike Mulligan and David Haw. And while, Matt, I mentioned this to you, that I didn't really get anything new from Arturis this morning, although he did crack a little bit of a joke about being repped at the like what his thought process was repping at the lottery, and hopefully he does bring a little bit of luck to the Bulls. But mostly the same stuff about Boylan, exactly what he really reiterated. He was going to evaluate Jim Boylan. He took the opportunity to do that, spoke with a lot of different people, spoke with players, spoke with coaches and staff, and made his decision that the Bulls were better off to make change and go forward without him.
Everything that we've heard from AK so far, both on the conference call Friday that the Bulls published on their website, and then also his interview on 670 Monday morning, very much goes along with what we've already heard about AK when he first took the job, as far as his methods and practices and how he operates. Certainly seems to be a very pragmatic guy. We heard him use the phrase due diligence on more than one occasion when talking about going through that evaluation process with Jim Boylan. And look, I would make the educated guess that not knowing, you know, what's going on in AK's mind when he took the job, just based on doing his homework, getting ready for the job interview itself, and then having the past 4 or 5 months to watch the tape of the Bulls this season and what went wrong, he was probably leaning towards knowing the conclusion he would come to was, I'd like a fresh start with a fresh coach. But doing it the right way to not only appease the Reinsdorfs, but to also make it known across the organization for not only potential coaching hires, the people that they're going to come in and interview for that job, but also potential free agents down the road. Like, we're going to start doing things a better way and a more professional way here in this organization. We're turning a fresh page, and we're gonna do right by all the people that come through this building.
The one thing that stuck out to me, besides the Boylan stuff and like just reiterating and I think tripling down on the fact that, you know, when he says something, he has pulled it off. You know, he's talked about changes that they wanted to make to the front office, and he did this morning credit the ownership with the idea that they were truthful in giving him the green light completely to make all decisions when it came to Jim Boylan. And a lot of the rumors we were getting over the last 2 or 3 months were that maybe ownership was poking back or asking him to give him a legit opportunity to maybe coach next season. See, I think that would have been more telling if the Bulls would have been invited back to the bubble, if the Bulls would have had some quasi delete eight bubble. I think that would have been maybe more realistic, and you wouldn't have seen Boylan fired right now. But he did credit ownership, saying that, hey, they gave me full green light to say when he was fired, who was getting fired, what changes wanted to, and needed to be made. And that's part of the reason why he said he came here in the first place, is he wanted full decision-making power. And I think while it's only a small sample size in these three moves, Tanaka, Foreman, and now Jim Boylan, he's so far gotten the green light to do everything that he's wanted to do.
Yeah, and I know a lot of fans were getting really worried about it, and I don't blame them. I was still not quite as worried as I think most had gotten over the past couple of weeks, especially with some of those things we saw from Casey Johnson and Joe Cowley, kind of just speculating as to reasons X, Y, and Z why they might decide to keep Jim around. And they, meaning the Reinsdorfs and not AK, because I never believed for a second that AK thought that Jim Boylan was the right man for the job. But it was slightly worrying to think all of a sudden that what we had heard about ownership giving him full autonomy was actually hollow lip service and nothing more. But all of the cynicism that I have felt and all of the negativity that I have felt about being a diehard fan of this team over the last handful of years as this rebuild has gone nowhere, when we finally were given this little glimmer of hope, I didn't want to squash it. I didn't want to step on it so quickly like a lot of people in the fan base did. But again, it goes back to that thing you and I have talked about, Jordan. This fan base has PTSD, and I think they will for some time. And it was, of course, logical in so many ways for fans to assume the worst the longer and longer Jim Boylan was sticking around and more we heard about why he might stick around. All right, before we get to more of our thoughts on AK and Jim Boylan's dismissal, wanted to let our Locked On Bulls listeners know that they could be eating a lot of different delicious stuff from the comfort of their own couch while they're watching these NBA playoffs. You have counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open that DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. And right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on that first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on that first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Jordan, I'm probably going to use some DoorDash later on tonight while I'm watching these NBA playoff games.
All right, Matt, I've got a couple other things on Connor Chavez really quick. The one that he mentioned on Mullion Hawt, and it may not stick out to a lot of people right now specifically, but maybe we can come back in 6 or 8 months and see if this is held true still. He said that part of his characteristic and what people will start to learn about him is that he doesn't like to dwell on the past, even mistakes that he's made by himself, or if it's mistakes that others are to blame for. He said, whatever the case may be, he doesn't really want to dwell on the past. And I think that holds true in a new face for this Bulls organization. Hopefully a new era of Bulls basketball as well. Maybe over time, the fan base can start to trust Karnišovas and Eversley and the path that they're on to the point where we don't start to do things like think about the past and think about all the mistakes that were made over the last 10 or 15 years. And even going back to a prior front office that Karnišovas or Eversley had nothing to do with. I think it goes along with the players too, and the players that were evaluated and players that are brought in and how development is over the next, I would say, 3, 4, 5 years. I think having that leash and understanding that Karnišovas doesn't want to go back and look at some of the, even the mistakes that he knows he's going to make, they're not going to be perfect, they're not going to be 100%, but I think being truthful, honest, transparent with the fan base and also understanding that we're not going to dwell on things that happened 2 or 3 years ago. And that's been a cycle I feel like Bulls fans and most notably this organization has kind of caught itself in over the last decade or
so. Yeah, I think, you make a really good point about that, and I think that that is so much what this new front office coming in is about getting rid of and changing for the better a lot of those problems with the organizational structure and operation. And I thought it was pretty telling when AK and Eversley both coming in and making their first comments to the media here in Chicago upon taking the jobs that, you know, AK was, you know, talking about like plugging in holes where he saw holes as far as building out the staff of a lot of different areas of this organization. And Eversley's comment about, you know, I was surprised to see that basically their player development staff is one guy. All of those things, along with the perception across the league of this being a poorly run organization, a team that was just a laughingstock with the losses piling up and the joke of a head coach who made these ridiculous comments, who was throwing his players under the bus, who was treating his players like middle school kids. So much of that stuff is a big overall gross wart on the Bulls' name that AK and Eversley and everybody they hire are going to be tasked with changing over. And I certainly, from what we've heard from AK so far, have faith that he can do that and that he's up to that task.
I would certainly hope so. And I think, like I've told you before, making this Boylan move opens up a lot of other things. And I think it opens up to an extent, it's extended the at least an arm's length of trust, however you can categorize that or however you can quantify that, for a lot of the players, maybe players that just weren't, you know, kind of stuck in no man's land where they're like, I have no idea really what's going on with this organization. It feels very dysfunctional. I feel like we've got a good core of group of guys here that if we can get a head coach in here, we can get some type of structure and organization, things can roll. And I'm specifically talking about guys like Carter and Markkanen, and even to an extent, Coby White, who's only been here a year, but think about all the dysfunction he's seen, and he didn't even see the worst of it. The three dudes that have seen the worst of it are LaVine, Dunn, and Markkanen, who are here from day one of the rebuild. So I think getting the trust level of those guys, if you're thinking about keeping those guys here long term, I think that started with Jim Boylan and getting rid of him and getting rid of Gar Foreman and changing the mindset and the mentality and allowing those players to build relationships with AK. And that was another thing that he talked about in their interview, is had several conversations. And while he said it's hard and difficult when you're not in person, there's a different level of trust and relationship that, bonding and building that you could have when you're in person with a player. But he said he tried to set up Zoom calls, the front office let me basically have full green light to build relationships and start from the get-go. So over the last 5 months, and I can't even believe it's been 5 months, Matt, but over the last 5 months, he's been building those relationships with players. And I think that's important because that's another thing that him and Eversley both said from day one that they wanted to do, make this a players first organization. And I think that starts with the relationships. All right, Matt, before we get to some of the Casey Johnson quotes, in his follow-up with, I guess in a way it's an exit interview for Jim Boylan, but I want to talk to our listeners about our friends at Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto parts and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. With the increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need need in a traditional chain store front. Wind door often pointless and seemingly intimidating questions while you wait for the counterman to order your parts on his computer. Choose the brand that only their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, so Jordan, the next thing that we want to talk about today was some of the great journalism that we got with the aftermath of Jim Boylan's removal. First of all, shout out to Darnell Mayberry, our buddy who's a guest of the pod, a fan of the pod, who has come on numerous occasions, who wrote an absolutely scathing postmortem of Jim Boylan for The Athletic. he had... this is one of my favorite sentences in Darnell's column. His 2-year tenure was described by multiple people within the organization as toxic. One person labeled it a nightmare, another a circus. So between that and some of the other things we heard, like Joe Cowley's tweet about how there was reportedly an incident between Jim Boylan and one of like the team chefs that was Not quite like a John Paxson and Vinny Del Negro physical altercation, but certainly a very loud and uncomfortable verbal altercation. God, I am so curious. I would have loved to have been a fly on that wall. But so, you know, we're hearing all these things about, so many people in the organization appear to be relieved that Jim is gone. So it was funny to me that we, in Casey Johnson's piece, when he interviewed Jim over the phone after Jim was relieved of his head coaching duties, that Jim was still trying to paint the rosiest of pictures, not only about what he was trying to do in his job performance, but his relationships within the organization.
Matt, the funniest quote here that kills me is the first one that the very first quote in the article is Jerry and Michael and John asked me to bring more discipline to the practice facility and practice floor. My marching orders were for us to practice hard, play hard, and defend better. I mean, still, even after he's not Bulls head coach, he still is talking like Bulls head coach Jim Boylan. And to some extent, that's just his personality. But I mean, like you said, like, how do you get in a fight with a chef? And how do you, I get you have altercations with people outside of the people on your basketball team, but the quote that you pulled from Darnell's article too about Zach LaVine and the whole thing that happened back, what was it, when he got ejected with the Clippers and he got fined too for saying something, and Zach LaVine ended up covering his fine, and that was thrown to the media and made like just this huge deal for like 3 weeks, and said, here's right. some good grace and faith from Zach LaVine, and look how good of a guy Jim Boylan is, and look at their relationship, how they're building it. And Zach LaVine was like, well, that's not what it was about,
and
but all right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure all of us could have guessed who leaked that little piece of information to the media, but I was so glad to see Darnell confirm that in his column. Yeah, you know who leaked that, oh, everything's all rosy and his players respect Jim Boylan story? And here's a great example. Zach LaVine offered to pick up Jim Boylan's tab on that fine. Yeah, Jim Boylan leaked that to the media himself to make himself look good and to try and establish some kind of, like, completely false and fabricated bond that existed between him and his best player and his roster as a whole by proxy. It is laughable.
This is a success played for me.
Ozzie sent it out on Bulls letterhead.
Oh my God. 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. It's legit. It's more examples of Jim Boylan living in his own little Jim Boylan world. You know, players are buying in. I'm not worried about my job performance. I'm not worried about the wins and losses. I'm not going to change anything despite our repeated failure. I'm happy that we've installed a system. Disregard the fact that both of the systems aren't entirely working all that well. Propping up like BS numbers in stats that don't really have that much when it comes to winning and losing. And then this is another one of my quotes that I love from his conversation with Casey Johnson. I had great relationships in the facility, both front office and business side. I tried to treat everybody well and with respect. I tried to raise people up and support everybody. Meanwhile, you got Darnell saying people in the organization called him a nightmare, a toxic presence, and a circus. It's just Jim Boylan, man. God, there's a tiny little part of me that might actually miss him just because of how ridiculous this dude is.
And these guys are men.
If you build it, they will come.
I'm thinking about, too, just... You know, to some extent, I think he does. I think he's got a good heart. He's just so out there to be a head coach and be the front-facing person of a Chicago Bulls team that was, quite frankly, in flames, on fire, but everybody was standing around saying, hey, look, I mean, it's in pretty good shape, right? And then you gave the keys to Boylan, and I mean, I still, to some extent, give Reinsdorf, and I blame Paxson in part, too, for giving Boylan basically all of this freedom to, as long as he listened to the things that he wanted them to do, he was allowed to basically feel emboldened to, I don't know, treat these guys like they were on a JV team in high school. And you saw how that didn't fly with some veterans who've been around the league for a minute. Think about Justin Holiday, Matt. How much we didn't talk about that storyline because of all of the other things that were going around that crazy 6 weeks. But Justin Holiday was a part of that mutiny. And we don't talk enough about that. And then all of a sudden, he is traded 3 weeks later. I get he was on expiring contract, and we can make the excuses for that if we want. And he brought us 2 second-round picks, which I'm very happy for, one being Daniel Gafford. But things like that, like the players that didn't have great relationships, and we could pick on Jabari Parker, and we could poke fun at Denzel Valentine, but guys that are respected around the league and are true vets were having issues with Jim Boylan. And Jim Boylan, remember, he's been here for 5 seasons. He was just head coach for 20 months. He was here for 5 years. And I'm curious if there's any relationships extending back to even when he was an associate head coach or when he was an assistant that sparked some of this that we should have known was coming.
Yeah. And I think that's probably some of the people who, now that he's gone, felt like they could maybe at least to a certain degree leak a little bit of intel or at least describe their experience with Jim to the media, which is why we got those descriptors in Darnell's piece that we did. Especially as he continued to accumulate more and more power, you know, going to associate head coach and then undermining Fred to steal his job as head coach. And then more of the responsibilities that we heard were being put on him as a head coach that really are managerial duties that Gar Forman and John Paxson either didn't feel like doing or weren't capable of doing. So all of a sudden, he was this like giant figure who was so, abrasive towards people questioning his mode of operation, what he was doing. I'm sure there are plenty of people who are relieved to see him go, which is what, look, and to go back to what you were saying earlier, I do still believe that the care factor, I think Michael Reinsdorf described it as the give a shit factor in Jim Boylan, is very much apparent. I do think that he is a guy who cares for his players and wants the best for them and wants to help them succeed, but that doesn't mean that he succeeded in doing that. You can't knock him for not caring. Clearly, he's an emotional guy. Even one of the other quotes in this Casey Johnson piece, Boylan saying, I also want to thank the players. We practiced hard. We competed. We fought through some tough losses. Casey Johnson saying, it's that investment which made some of the goodbyes with his players difficult. Zach LaVine reached out. So did Lauri Markkanen. Back to a Boylan quote, that's the only reason we do this, man, Boylan said, emotion present in his voice. I do believe that Jim Boylan cares about his players, but it's also a little bit two-faced because his whole shock and awe thing, and how many times at the post-game podium did we see him and hear him throw his players under the bus, saying things like, I think your play is embarrassing after a franchise worst 56-point loss. Saying one day, I'm going to yank Zach LaVine because he made some egregious mistakes, or I'm going to pull the entire starting five in the first half. I'm going to do it again early in the third quarter. And then a little bit later, when asked why he didn't make subs in a game, they were coughing up saying, I've never yanked guys. All of the things that he said went against us believing that he cared about his guys. So, you know, it's not, yes, there is such a thing as tough love, but Jim Boylan did it to a level that seemed almost like an insane person who actually was just not good at coaching and took out his failures on his players.
He's bigger than I just didn't realize how big he was. So you get on top of him.
Then you get quotes like that. We're just completely taken out of context. Oh, man, he was, you are right though. And shit, I don't have it on this computer, but like all of those quotes are bringing back very, very vivid memories of a lot of anger day in and day out, that especially that 56-point loss. I mean, that brought us the greatest phone call we've ever received or greatest voicemail we've ever received. And we got a lot of those minutes after that game was over and then doubling and tripling down. I agree with you, though, like, I have to go back and listen to what Will Perdue said with Lawrence Holmes earlier today, but I'm pretty sure he said Boylan, to some extent, was a very good number two guy. And that's what he did for a long time on a lot of benches and coached under a lot of really successful guys is, you know, when the head coach is pissing you off and you're a player that maybe feels down, there's another guy to go to. And maybe Boylan was really good at being that guy but could never take the next step. And sure as hell not with this team and the situation that he right. was given. But I think about the bad things that happened to him, and there's definitely plenty of examples for that, even going back to when he was an associate head coach. I always bring up the towel throwing to Rondo, like Rondo throwing a towel in his face and then getting suspended for a game for detrimental conduct to the team. That was when Fred Hoiberg was head coach. But then I also think about the close relationships he has with guys that don't get along with everybody, like Jimmy Butler, for example, or gets along with Dwayne Wade. Those players and those relationships, I think, matter and are important just as much as we call him out for all the shitty relationships he's formed and all the hypocrisy he's spilled to the media and then turned around and it doesn't look like it should, or at least the way he said it.
Well, and you know, and I think, you know, longtime listeners of this pod know, at least going back to, you know, the beginning, the offseason leading up to the 18-19 season, and how much of a conniption fit I had when this team stupidly signed Jabari Parker, knowing that clearly he was not a fit for Fred Hoiberg's roster. Even knowing that, and the fact that I'm like, dude, the Jabari thing, the whole experiment pissed me off. That was a very interesting example. As you were talking about how coaches relate to their players as a coach, as a head coach versus as an assistant, because we heard from multiple reports that when things were kind of going tough for Jabari when he first came in, he and Jim Boylan developed a really strong relationship when Jim Boylan was still Fred's associate head coach. And then when Jim seized power, suddenly something changed. He benched Jabari, like put him out of the rotation entirely, and we never really got a full, clear understanding of why exactly that was. So, yeah, there's a lot of questions about how Jim operates based on or compared to what we hear about his care factor with his guys. And I think you also bring up a very good point that some people are very successful assistant coaches in the NBA. And Jim Boylan is a multi-time champion as an assistant coach. San Antonio, Houston. You know, we all made jokes, you know, back in the day when he kept bringing up Greg Popovich. But there is a difference between being an assistant and being in that head chair. And the only other time we had evidence of Jim Boylan head coach was at the collegiate level when he took what was a fairly promising upstart Utah program and blew the thing up. You had some of the more talented players transferring because they couldn't get out of there fast enough. You had Jim Boylan doing and saying all the ridiculous things that we saw him do and say in his tenure as a head coach for the Bulls. It was predictable. If you went back and looked at the evidence, we should have all seen this coming. Jim Boylan, head coach, was like a terrifying monster who could not be controlled and could not be stopped.
Coach, you started that second half missing your first 12 shots. Explain how you were feeling during that run.
Like shit. That's how I was feeling. How am I supposed to answer that? How would you be feeling? Huh?
What was the reason for the offensive inefficiency, Jim?
Ball didn't go in the hoop.
Why not?
Ball didn't go in the hoop.
Were you happy with the schemes?
Next question.
Coach,
coach. You hold.
Don't come here once every 2 years and ask those questions. I don't want to hear that from you.
I can ask the question.
Good. That's ask. I'm not answering it. Oh, don't come here once every 2 years. Coach, I don't want to hear that from you.
Break.
Yeah. Sure, I see you to show up.
Oh, my God. I do appreciate a little bit of
because
that.
Because I said so, Jordan. Because I said so.
I do appreciate a little bit of that. A little bit of that. I mean, if you're going to go red ass, you got to go full red ass all the time. And I think Boylan, to an extent, is that. And also, to the classic quote.
Whipped cream on a turd still tastes like
that one also from Utah, but yeah.
Yeah. But funny, Jim Boylan tried to put whipped cream on an awful lot of turds this season, didn't he?
Yes, and I know I'm playing devil's advocate for Jim Boylan right now as much as we're dumping on him, but I do wonder about those guys that you talk about, those fringe guys that all of a sudden became players. And, you know, I credit the players for putting in the work, guys like Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arcidiacono and those guys, but Jim Boylan gave them legit opportunity to develop and turn into players when guys weren't stepping up, like you were talking about. When Jabari Parker was absolute crap and he wasn't playable at points. You couldn't stick him out there. Guys like Shaq Harrison was on a 10-day contract or partial guarantee with the Bulls, right, just after getting cut with the Suns.
But see, that's the issue with me. And yes, some of the fault lies in management for not recognizing and scooping up those fringe talents and holding on to them when they occasionally walk through their building by coincidence. You know what, you know, whether you're talking about a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie or a lot of Bulls fans who fell in love with David Nwaba or whatever. What you were just talking about, and I think this is something that Darnell pointed out in his column, that is a job where an assistant coach can excel.
Right.
An assistant coach working one-on-one with some of these fringe players at the back end of the roster and turning them into better players who can, if called upon, be serviceable and be useful. So that's why it was so frustrating. Like when the Bulls cough up a very winnable game to the freaking Lakers, LeBron, Anthony Davis, you win that game, maybe things turn around. And we had to listen to Jim Boylan, the head coach, say, well, I've got 15 guys to develop.
I got 15 guys to develop.
It's not your job as the head coach to round out the performances of the 14th and 15th guys in your rotation. Your job as a head coach is to win fucking basketball games. And that's why that shit was so frustrating.
And we're going to have a bench here in Chicago. And
got 15 guys to develop.
I've never yanked guys. I don't do that.
I've never yanked guys. I've never done that.
Oh my God, those are so good. I think I'm going to leave a parting gift with the one biggest stain. While I don't think it's the biggest criticism that Boylan deserves in his tenure with the Bulls, but it's certainly pissed probably, what would I say, 25-30% of the league off by the time Jim Boylan was done after a season and a half. Take a listen.
And a timeout here from Jim Boylan. What are you doing? I know Jim alone. Like, what, seriously, like, what strategy are you talking? It's a 25-point blowout. There's a minute 4 left. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I want to get out of here. First of all, I didn't want overtime. What strategic adjustment are you making? Stuck 25. Come on, man. This is just, that's, you know, look, come on. Really? You really need to run a play?
Now 25. Here we go.
Run the play. Right. Don't even execute it. Holy
unbelievable
shit.
And then that, you know, that was one example. The other great one that I had forgotten about until I think I can't remember who on Bulls Twitter brought it up, but the game against the Kings when the Bulls were actually comfortably winning with like just, you know, a few seconds left on the clock and Boylan called a timeout. I think it was like the Bulls were up 14 with like, you know, 24 seconds left or whatever, called a timeout so he could draw up a play. And then Kings coach, what was his name? Igor Kozgorov or whatever that dude's name is.
Yep.
Was so ticked off at Boylan that he instructed his players to commit a foul so that Boylan couldn't execute that ATO. God, I love it.
And Doc Rivers heated after his exchange with Boylan. It's just, and then I think Budenholzer too made a comment, and also too the guy Lloyd, who's the Hawks coach. He also was really pissed off at Boylan too. We're doing the timeout thing. Yes.
Yeah.
So there's many examples, but yes, I know we're going to continue to talk about Boylan throughout the rest of the week. We're going to get your reaction tomorrow. We've got plenty of voicemails to play, plenty of text message to go through, just getting your reaction and also getting your follow-up too to what AK had to say over the last couple of days. So you got reaction, you still want to leave that for us for tomorrow's episode, you can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Thanks to our sponsors today, in DoorDash and in rockauto.com. You guys are the best. Go support those sponsors. You support those sponsors, you're supporting Locked On Bulls. So thank you guys again for everybody who has so far. Tweet us pictures, show us your support. That's great for us and great for you. So DoorDash and rockauto.com, thank you again. Hit us up on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I'm going to develop this bench. I'm not going to, I've never yanked guys. I've never done that. And we're going to have a bench here in Chicago, and I'm not doing that. So I've never done that. You know, I've never yanked guys.
When does support start turning into boots to asses?
Yeah, well, we've had some boots to asses, and we'll continue to have that. And we'll handle that stuff as we go.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.